Forgiveness this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7, which will sound very familiar to our Advent reading this morning and our call to worship. Isaiah 9, 1 through 7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle, every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Brothers and sisters, arise and hear the good news. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Him. Brothers and sisters, all those united to Christ Jesus in baptism, holding fast to Him by faith, and faithfully keeping covenant with Him, God Himself promises that Jesus came, He took on human flesh to suffer and die in your place, and will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. Believe this and rejoice. Amen. If you will take... We come before Almighty God in the heavenly places with our hearts open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid. We submit ourselves humbly to the Word, that we might be shaped and changed by the Holy Spirit to be more like our Savior in Christ. Let us hear and respond in faith to God, that we may perfectly love Him and magnify His glorious name through Christ Jesus our Lord. God's will for life this morning is taken from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 16. These are the words of God. Here is a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer or elder, he desires a noble task. Now the overseer or elder must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. Deacons, likewise, are to be men worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, their wives are to be women worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be the husband of but one wife and must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. Although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. He appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world was taken up in glory. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us go to Him now in prayer and ask for the Spirit's blessing on the reading and proclamation of His word. Will you pray with me? O Lord our God, You are our light and our salvation. Whom shall we fear? You are the stronghold of our lives. Of whom shall we be afraid? When evil men advance against us, devour our flesh, when our enemies and our foes attack us, they will all stumble and fall. Though an army besiege us, our hearts will not fear. Though war break out against us, even then we will be confident. One thing we ask of You, O Lord, this is what we seek, that we may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our lives, to gaze upon the beauty of You, O Lord, and to seek You in Your temple. For in the day of trouble, You will keep us safe in our dwellings. You will hide us in the shelter of Your tabernacle and set us high upon a rock. Then our heads will be exalted above the enemies who surround us. At Your tabernacle will we sacrifice Your shouts of joy. We will sing and make melody to You, O Lord. Hear our voices when we call, O Lord. Be merciful to us and answer us. Our hearts say of You, seek His face. Your face, Lord, we will seek. Do not hide Your face from us. Do not turn Your servants away in anger. For You have been our helper. Do not reject us or forsake us, O God our Savior. Though our father and mother forsake us, You will receive us. Teach us Your way, O Lord. Lead us in a straight path because of our oppressors. Do not turn us over to the desire of our foes. For false witnesses rise up against us, breathing out violence. We are still confident of this. We will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We will wait for You, O Lord. Make us strong that we would take heart and wait for You. Lord, give us ears to hear, minds to understand, hearts to love. Move us by Your Spirit to rejoice in Your truth and to live by it. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in Your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Our sermon text this morning is the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Luke chapter 2, 1 through 7. Brothers and sisters, the word of the true and the living God is being read in your hearing. Hear it with faith and do not harden your hearts. Luke 2, 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. May the Lord bless unto us this day the reading of His holy and infallible word. Babies. Babies. Babies are a joy. And I tell that to parents right now wrestling with little ones. Yes, babies are a joy. Babies are uplifting. How much excitement exists around the announcement of a new birth? You find out someone is pregnant. Joy. Hugs. Congratulations. Because of the coming arrival of a new baby. Parents love their new babies. Grandparents love their new grandbabies. You may have noticed we've been blessed recently with some brand new babies. Just watch grandmas hold new babies and tell me babies aren't a joy. A baby can bring immediate joy to a situation. Sadly, there are churches with no babies. How much would life change at those churches if they had a baby within the congregation? 5 years ago, I was at a church with no babies, no children. It just happened the Sunday we were there, we had to rush out of the sanctuary with a crying baby. And someone chased after us, pleading with us not to leave because our newborn son was crying. It had been so long since they had a baby in that church, and they loved the sound of even a crying baby. There are many themes throughout the Bible. Frequently, you'll hear me ask the children, boys and girls, what is the point of the whole Bible? Caleb?
Gospel.
Right. How about that question I sometimes ask you, though, at children's messages? Evan?
Kill the dragon,
get the girl. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, killed the ancient serpent, the dragon. And then he won his bride, his people, his church. Kill the dragon, get the girl. But another dominant theme throughout the Bible, we've encountered it in these Advent messages, is the hope of a baby. The hope of a baby. We've heard with Elizabeth and with Mary the theme of expected motherhood. And with motherhood is bound up the promise of a baby. You cannot separate motherhood from babies. And God has had that theme throughout Scripture. Think to yourselves, who were the expected babies in the Bible? Who were the promised babies where parents were waiting for their birth? Boys and girls, Abraham and Sarah were waiting for whom? Such an I. Hessel.
Isaac.
Isaac. Very good. Rachel, barren Rachel, was waiting for her firstborn, who turned out to be Joseph. Samson's mother was barren, and she was promised a baby who would be Samson. Hannah's baby. Anybody know Hannah's baby she was waiting for? Jan?
Samuel.
Very good. Samuel was a hopeful baby. David and Bathsheba, after their first child died, were waiting for baby Solomon. Jeremiah, the prophet, was a promised baby. And of course, in Advent, we've had the promise of John the forerunner and baby Jesus. How about the famous Advent Christmas prophecies that we love to read and love to hear during this time of year every year? Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child. A virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. You've heard twice this morning already. Twice, Isaiah 9. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. Micah 5. As for you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His going forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Therefore, he will give them up until a time when she who is in labor has borne a child. Then the remainder of his brethren will return to the sons of Israel, and he will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. These prophecies tell of the coming Messiah, the anointed king who will lead God's people. But in these prophecies, the prophecies are about a child, the birth of a baby. Why? Why can't God say, I'm going to send a mighty king to lead you? Why is the baby bound up in the promises? Why does the promise have to include a baby? Hold that thought. Kids, come forward for the children's message, please. All right. We're back on track. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Who can raise their hand? Let's do a little check-in. Who can raise their hand and tell me what season are we in right now? It starts with an A. It starts with an A.
Not October.
Advent. It's a good try. Advent. Raise your hand if you're going to say Advent.
Okay, good job. Hands down. Raise your hand if you can tell me, what does Advent mean? Advent. What does it mean? Christmas is coming. Very good. Christmas is coming, but who came? Advent was telling us someone in particular was coming.
Jesus.
And who can raise their hand and tell me, how did Jesus come the first time? I've been talking about it the first half of the sermon. How did Jesus come the first time? Raise your hand. Lee? A baby. Who can raise their hand and tell me, when do we celebrate Jesus being born as a baby? Christmas. And on Thursday night, we're going to have a Christmas program. And you guys are going to tell us about the birth of baby Jesus. Now, who can raise their hand and tell me, who is king over heaven and earth?
God.
God the Son, Jesus, is king over heaven and earth. Okay, who is the smallest here? Trip or Kate? I'm going to take Trevor, just because Trevor's right here. And Trevor probably be most comfortable with me doing this. Let's pretend that Trevor is a baby.
Mama.
We're going to pretend he's a baby. Just pretend. Okay. I want you to show me thumbs up or thumbs down. Does Trevor look like a king right now?
I'm not a king.
Does Trevor look like a king? Most of you guys have your thumbs down, and that's not you being mean to Trevor. It's just, you're right. He doesn't look like a king right now, does he? Okay, who can raise their hand? Trevor, good job. Thank you. Who can raise their hand and tell me why? Why did you not think that Trevor looked like a king? This one you have to think about. What was it about Trevor that made you think that's not a king, besides him confessing it? Hessel?
He wasn't grown, he was just a small baby.
He wasn't grown, he was just a small baby. Very good. Any other ideas? That was really good, Hessel. Lennox, you want to add to that? He's not the Lord. You're right. I was asking you to pretend, but you knew that Trevor is not the Lord. Dean, you want anything to it?
I don't see any crown.
There's no crown on him. Okay. Who can raise her and tell me, what do kings sit on? What do they sit on? Cassie?
A throne.
A big, strong chair. We kind of have some nice chairs up there. Where was Trevor sitting?
In your lap.
He was on my lap, in my arms. Just like a little baby. Are babies very strong?
No.
Well, if you're going to have a war, who would send a baby out to fight the war? You would? So you wouldn't have to fight? You would send a baby? Who can raise her and tell us who about this? There was a battle in the Bible with a little guy and a great big guy. Who can raise her and tell me what that story was? Emma? David and Goliath. Was David big, strong, and impressive looking?
No,
Lee is right. Thumbs down. He wasn't. Was Goliath big, strong, and impressive looking? Yeah. But who won the war? Who won the battle? David. David won. David defeated Goliath. Because who was stronger than Goliath? Not David. God. God is stronger than Goliath. And God will win the battle. And God can win a battle even with a little baby or a little child. Because God is stronger. Okay? All right, let's pray. Will you fold your hands? Close your eyes and please repeat after me. Father in heaven, thank you for making us and saving us in your Son Jesus. Help us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to believe you, obey you, and honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you can head back to your seats. Here's a thought for parents with little ones. Jesus didn't sin. Joseph and Mary had to take baby and toddler Jesus to synagogue for worship. Imagine a perfect little one sitting in church through the whole service. That's how it was for Joseph and Mary with baby Jesus. Until the others were born, and I'm sure they did their part. The theme of the baby in the Bible, the theme of the baby, is connected to God's promises all the way back to the beginning. Why a baby, I asked you before the kids came forward. Why a baby? Because of God's promises from the beginning. When Adam fell in the garden, the Lord God made his very first gospel promise. When he cursed the serpent, God said, "I will put enmity, serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He, the seed, he shall strike your head, you shall strike his heel." That gospel promise to the serpent, God making that promise to the serpent, was made with seed in mind. It was made with descendants in mind. It was made with babies in mind. God made that promise to the serpent. He shall strike your head, you shall strike his heel. God had babies in mind when he made that promise. When God cursed the serpent, he said, "Satan, there's going to be a battle. You'll nip, you'll bite, you'll think you're winning, but even when you think you're winning, you're actually losing. And by the way, the one who gets you will be born a baby. A baby's going to come, and he's the one who will beat you." That was God's promise. That was the very first proclamation of the gospel, the good news in the whole Bible, in history. The victor will come as a baby. Now, to our weak, fleshly minds, this sounds backward. And it must have sounded strange to Satan. Here's Satan, this fallen angel, who manipulated the corruption of God's entire creation. That's what Satan accomplished. He manipulated the corruption of God's entire creation. And ultimately, he hears, "You're going to fall, Satan, and you're going to follow the one who comes as a baby." This is the foundation for all of Satan's attacks on mothers and babies in the Bible. The gospel is the foundation for all of Satan's attacks on motherhood and all of Satan's attacks on children. A baby, Satan, a baby will be born who will defeat you. Each baby in Israel, God's firstborn son, every baby was a reminder of that promise. Imagine, you're an Israelite mother, you're pregnant, you have the baby, you're reminded of the gospel. Every baby who was born in Israel was a reminder of God's gospel promise, the promised seed. And when that gospel came to fulfillment, God the Son came into this fallen world 2,000 years ago. And he came as a baby. But he came as a baby to fight. In pride, Satan may have thought the fight was winnable. After all, God promised. He knew the promise that the Savior would come as a baby. And we read in Revelation 12 that at Christmas, the dragon was enraged, ready to devour the baby. Revelation 12, a great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his heads. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so he might devour her child the moment it was born. Satan can take a baby, right? He can take a baby. He did with all his Israelite boys in Exodus, right? He had Pharaoh kill all those boys. he thought he could kill a baby. But again, in the apparent backwardness of God's war against sin, God's war against Satan and evil, the Son of God started his attack in the birth as a babe. Jesus, the Son of God, condescended. He was born in a manger. He made himself of no regard to fight this battle. We think about going to do anything. You start with your best foot forward, right? God didn't do that. He started with a baby. We are fond to say this time of year, Jesus is the reason for the season. This is a faithful and noble statement. This is true. But take a step back. In reality, sin is the reason for the season. Sin is the reason for the season. Jesus, God's Son, came. He was born because of sin. But he didn't come immediately riding a white horse to battle Satan. He didn't come as a triumphant Israelite king to establish his earthly kingdom with force. Why not? Because sin in the fall was a result of pride. Adam, seeking to be independent from God, trusted in himself. And he fell. And God didn't reverse that with a sign of earthly power. God the Son began his attack with loving submission. God the Son came with humility to the Father. Basically, Jesus the Son did what Adam and Satan refused to do, which was obey God the Father. And Jesus' humble submission would be his method of warfare against Satan all the way to the cross. He would fight Satan throughout his earthly ministry with humble submission to the Father. And that was to counteract what Adam did in the fall in pride. So, brothers and sisters, babies ought to remind us of God's grace. Babies ought to remind us of God's love, the life, and the new life that He gives us. Babies ought to remind us of total dependence. God the Son entrusted Himself to the Father in heaven wholeheartedly. And the Son would engage Satan every step of the way for the redemption of creation. You, me, we should be like newborn babes, completely dependent upon the goodness, the protection, and the covenant blessings of God, who waged a war with a baby. Seek this out faithfully in submission to God, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray.